Ancient Civilizations Seeded by ETs. Will Hart with us, and this hour we'll take your phone calls on Coast to Coast AM. And welcome back to Coast, George Norrie with you, along with Will Hart, back with you, and we'll take your phone calls as well this hour on Coast to Coast. Your books are available still, my friend?
Yes, they are, on Amazon, Barnes & Noble. Yes, they're all still available. The Genesis Race, Ancient Alien Ancestors.
When you first started doing this, Will, what was it that got you interested in it?
You know, to be honest, it was about 1970, and it was the books of a pioneer, Eric von Däniken.
Uh-huh.
Sent me down to Mexico in the mid-70s, and I traveled around Mexico for a year, you know, going, exploring all of the archaeological sites all the way north, all the way down to the border of Guatemala in the rainforest jungle. It was an amazing adventure. All the Mayan site, everything, and I ended up at, and the one that convinced me that people didn't build it was the last one I was at, which was Teotihuacan, which is an immense site.
Mm-hmm.
That once you're there and you really look it over, nothing else convinced me, but that one did. And so I got much more serious about it, but I was also got inspired about Atlantis and started digging deeper into that. But I'm a patient investigator, and I really back up everything I do. So I didn't try to just, you know, force books out before I was ready to really present the whole thing. And that's what I've done, and the commitment I've made to, I consider myself an alternative historian. I am an ancient alien theorist, too, but I really am an alternative historian.
Since you've been doing this, are you getting answers that you've been looking for?
Oh, yeah. Yeah, lots of them. I'm utterly convinced I have proof positive that Atlantis existed. Many different cultures that are quite separate. The ones I mentioned, that especially across North Africa, the people that are called Berbers,
mm-hmm.
were actually the indigenous. They've traced them back, and they're white. They're no different than any other looking. Any other Europeans will try to fit. They go back to the Paleolithic area. That means, you know, they're going back 20,000 years in North Africa. In other words, they're indigenous. Well, what are these white people doing in North Africa if everybody came from South Africa? They couldn't make it to North Africa? It's because our history is all screwed up and it's politicized. Now, anthropologists will admit it. They'll tell you, well, that's true. Yeah, these early people, because we know that it was reported by Herodotus and other historians early on that the people that were there were light-skinned. They had blue eyes, green eyes, brown eyes, red hair, and so, and you still find those people there. The Arabs invaded and brought Islam into the area in the 8th century. That's a recent development. But people think mm-hmm. the Arabs have always been there. They haven't. The people that fled Atlantis, landed in Morocco and the island, Canary Islands and the west coast of Morocco, they brought their Rh-negative blood because it thins out as you go east, and they did. They migrated all the way to Egypt. And they eventually occupied the Delta region of Egypt, and that was a big separation between that tribe, the Amazigh, they're called, and then the people that were in southern Egypt.
Did those who fled bring technology with them to wherever they went?
Well, they had to start over again. You know, you can imagine that, okay, you've had to leave everything behind that you've built up, but they brought their culture and pretty quickly revived it. They started building, you know, dolmen and stone circles, and they're found all over North Africa. People don't know that the things you find in Northern Europe, you find in North Africa, the same things. You find them in the Azores Islands, the same things. And that's another sore point with me. Historians lied about the Azores Islands for 500 years. They claimed there was no evidence that people had ever lived there. And that's a historical fact. 5 years ago, they admitted, oh, well, There's 130 pyramids here. There are dome and there are all kinds of artifacts that are very similar to what we find in mainland Europe. Well, hello, if that isn't evidence of Atlantis, and they know it. They know it's evidence of Atlantis. They don't want to admit it. We're being lied to constantly. And people just don't get it.
Zachariah Sitchin said they came from a planet within our solar system that was just way out there. What do you think of that?
Well, that's a good point. And it brings up this whole thing about the vast distances between solar systems, galaxies, and so on. They are so vast that it's very difficult to imagine anybody spanning them. So it makes sense that, you know, whoever came here would have been within the solar system. Because even if we go out to Neptune, if we go out further, we're out, you know, if you're in a spacecraft and you're already not in real time with the Earth, it's going to take from Neptune 8 minutes for a signal to arrive. Well, if you had an emergency, that means 16-minute turnaround, and you could be dead by then. So there's a lot of problems with space travel, and especially interstellar.
Absolutely.
You know, the spaces are so huge. So we're either looking at paranormal, or some people would say, you know, wormholes, superphysics kind of things. Mm-hmm. That they have mastered that, or some other paranormal. And I found evidence, especially the Aztecs, and there are other cultures too, that just seem to appear out of nowhere. You can't trace the history of the Sumerian people. And historians call it the Sumerian problem. They cannot trace their origins and their language. Sumerian language is an isolate. It's not genetically related to any other language on Earth. Well, they just throw up their hands. But most people get thrown off into the Anunnaki and trying to figure out who were they.
Mm-hmm.
You can't figure out who they were. They're beyond us. It's like a chimpanzee trying to figure out who we are.
You go nuts trying to figure it out.
Yeah, that's right.
Let's take some calls for you, Will. You ready?
Okay.
Yeah. First-time caller, Greg, on the Big Island of Hawaii. Hey, Gregory, go ahead.
Hello. How are you?
Good. Thank you.
Sure. Appreciate your guest. Really, very much so.
Good man.
My question is, what percentage of the population is Rh negative?
What do you think of that, Will?
Well, it's a very low percentage of Rh negative.
It's unusual.
Well, it's a very rare blood type. Now, let's look at Rh negative. It's an important question. But I want to ask a question first. Why are we not taught in schools what our blood type is and what it means?
They really never bring it up.
It's a crucial question. And many people don't know what their blood type is. Well, if you need a transfusion or if you need an organ or something, you're going to learn all about it very quickly. But we should all be taught this information in school. Rh negative is very rare. Why is it rare? It's the most primal, the most primitive blood type. It doesn't have any mutations on it. Rh positive, that's a mutation. A is a mutation. B is a mutation. That's why only Rh negative is the universal donor, because the other blood types recognize it as the baseline. I would really wish people would get this, because if you're Rh negative and you go through your life and you don't know it, you could have been donating blood that can save anybody's life.
Right.
When you go to the hospital. And this is a very practical thing. It's not just ancient history, and it doesn't mean anything now.
Is it extraterrestrial blood?
Well, that's a good question, and I'm not going to pretend that I can answer that, but it doesn't look like it originated on the planet. It's not, I mean, chimpanzees don't have, or you know, the apes don't have Rh negative. Obviously, Rh means rhesus monkey.
Right.
So the positive... That's what it is. It comes out of Africa. What I'm saying is Rh negative was the original. Those are the ancestral blood type. That's it. And that's why it's the baseline. And, you know, it can give blood, its blood, to any other human being in a survival situation. Now, we only learned all of this. Rh negative was only discovered in 1942.
That's it?
Yeah. It's very recent.
It's not far at all. Mary in South Los Angeles. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
Well, I want to ask about art. Do you think that aliens can take over an artist? Because I'm an artist. I did a painting in 3 days. I don't know who did it. It doesn't look like anything I ever did in my life.
What's it look like?
It's angel wings. It's called Angel City. You know the angels you see where people go in front of them? They have halos?
Yeah.
But this halo is orange. And it emanates and it mixes with like gases. It's almost like feathers in gas. I didn't use an airbrush, but it looked like it was airbrushed. And I've never done this style in my life.
I don't know if they're ETs, Mary, or angelic intervention. What do you think, Will?
I did not. I can hear you very clearly. I couldn't hear your caller. Can you?
She paints, but she has no idea how she's painting pictures. They just flow. And they're mostly angels and wings and things like that that she paints. Strange.
Well, sure. We're there's so many different levels of consciousness, and we don't understand consciousness all that well. That's very new territory, really. And, I know I've had certain experiences I would call paranormal. And I could distinguish, my ordinary experience from those. And I know that people are inspired, and they're not quite sure where things are coming from. Where does this creativity come from? Well, that's a great question. Where does it come from? So I think what she's doing is you can be in touch with your beings on different levels. They can be angelic beings. It can be alien higher intelligence. And I would just go with it. I wouldn't worry about it. I wouldn't. Try to identify exactly what it is. Just if it's happening and you're inspired and you can create with it, flow with it.
And it's positive. It's not negative.
It's positive. Well, if it's scaring you and you're coming out with horrific demonic things,
that's different.
Then I would be concerned. But if it's positive, I wouldn't be.
Joe in Long Island, New York. Hey, Joe, go ahead.
Yeah, two quick questions and a comment. First would be Atlantis at the time, it wouldn't have been just Atlanteans. What would you speculate was the distribution of the other people around at the time? How was the whole thing laid out in terms of the distribution? And then I'm just wondering about your personal investigation of waterways, such as... did you go and try and retrace the Garden of Eden, which had four rivers going into it, according to Genesis? Then my comment was on these lockdowns. There was a Dr. Pierre that testified this week in front of the Senate committee that ivermectin is 100% preventive of this virus. In Argentina, there were 800 people. Healthcare workers given it. Not one of them got the contraction of the virus, but they're withholding, making this locally.
It's cheap, that's why.
It's $20, yeah. That's
exactly.
The problem.
Go ahead with his questions, Will. Atlantis, were there other people around them?
Yes, I think there were other people. There were more primitive people distributed around the planet. That was the original civilization. If you go back with what Plato said, he basically said what we get out of other cultures, which is the gods. The gods set up the islands. And they originally built the temples on the islands, and then they introduced man. And we get a similar story later out of Sumeria. And we get the watchers, the Neteru, out of Egypt, and then cultures around the planet say basically the same thing, you know, that we did not create civilization and all this. We got kickstarted by the God, what they call the God. So they're obviously superior beings with advanced technology and knowledge, and they gave it to us. So it was a gift. And this is partly why ancient history is so important. We got to know where we really stand in this universe, who we are. We've lost our identity.
Well,
we gotta know where we... Go ahead.
No, you finish up. Go ahead.
Well, identity is real important in this. Are we, as evolutionists claim, descended from monkeys on this planet, or are we descended from higher order of beings? And I don't see us being very related to monkeys. I mean, look at our monkeys. Do they build computers? Do they go off planet? Are they diddling around with DNA and creating hybrid species? No. We're very, very different than these apes. And I'm not denigrating, you know, chimpanzees are great. So are gorillas. We're just very, very different.
But they may have been used to seed us.
Yes.
I think. His other question was wanted to know about river streams through the Garden of Eden and things like that. I don't know about the geography there.
Well, we know that it was, because it mentions the major rivers there.
Euphrates, right?
Yeah, the Euphrates, and gives it particular significance. There being a shield put up there. And obviously, if we look at Iraq, which is where Euphrates is, and look at the history there, it's been very, very tumultuous. Really, ever since, you know, the Sumerians were overrun by the Semitic tribes.
Oh, they've never stopped fighting.
No, it's never stopped fighting, really. And the odd thing is, to me, it's almost like, you know, the snake coming around and eating its tail or something, that America goes and invades, you know, the youngest civilization goes and invades Iraq. That was not a good sign to me. We just don't know what we're doing. And I think Americans are starting to realize it now, that we're so deep into things, that, and we've got to sort them out for ourselves now in this country. There's, call it karma, call it whatever, but there's a lot of things we have to sort out.
What's so amazing, too, Will, is just letting your mind wander to try to think of all these possibilities of who we are, how did we evolve, how did we get here, what was here. Yeah, I mean, it is fascinating, isn't it?
It's like an enormously complicated puzzle, and it takes time to get the pieces, and you have to be patient. And then you're dealing with a lot of psychological dissonance all the time, because you've got all various religions competing and science and everything going this way and that way. It gets confusing. But I try to stay honed in on the facts, and I tend more to trust ancient sources.
Well, you do a good job digging up those sources. We'll talk more about this and take final calls in a moment on Coast to Coast AM. And we'll be back in a moment with final calls with Will Hart as we talk about ancient alien ancestors, which could very well be us. Welcome back, Will Hart with us. Will, it must be amazing that there are many planets like Earth that have been seeded by a group of extraterrestrials, don't you think?
Yeah, indeed I do. And we have our sights set on that right now, too, so it shouldn't come as a big surprise to people, right? I mean, the theory of terraforming.
That's right.
And, you know, our scientists are already considering that. Of course, it takes a long time, but we're probably going to figure out ways to accelerate it. Right now, we could be doing it. We could be, you know, we could be sending robot probes loaded with microorganisms to Mars or Enceladus or, you know, various satellites and planets. And I think it's just a matter of time until we're doing that. So why wouldn't other advanced races? I just think we're programmed to do that genetically.
Well, we are programmed to do it genetically, and that is a wonderment all by itself, isn't it?
Yes, it is. It's fascinating. And the more you learn about it, the deeper it goes, and it appears to go on forever. I mean, we gain knowledge and we think we're there at some kind of pinnacle and find out, no, we're just there at the next level. But that's fascinating in itself. You know, the universe just keeps going on.
Is it conceivable, Will, that we're all wrong and that the planet just developed life all by itself and that's the way it is?
No, I don't see that. Not with what we're talking about. Well, you know, they now measure the universe as being, you know, 93 billion light years across. You know, and the light year is trillions of miles. What are we talking about? Some unfathomable concept of trillions of planets scattered out in every direction. It's inconceivable. Statistically, scientists have long agreed that, oh, there's life out there, and undoubtedly there's advanced life. Where they disagree with people like me is they don't think it's ever come to this planet. I think it has, and I think have the evidence, and that's what I'm trying to present.
Do you think it came to other planets in our solar system?
It may have been on Mars, and we have, you know, I don't know how many more decades, or even by the end of this decade. I think Michio Kaku has, he believes that we'll have the evidence we're looking for in terms of life out there by the end of this decade. And other scientists, I mean, they're moving along very fast with artificial intelligence, with what it can do with the latest algorithms and everything. We're gonna be in for some real revelations in the next 10 years.
I think so. Let's go to calls again. Let's go to Mary in Burlington County. That's out there in New Jersey. Hi, Mary. Go ahead.
George and Will.
Hi.
Thank you for your work. I have a question. When the people left Atlantis, was that before or after Noah's flood? I have a couple more questions.
Yeah, the flood would have... What Plato actually says is the Atlanteans were a seafaring, an advanced seafaring race, and they went all over long before the disaster. They had actually set up some colonies in North Africa and were going further into the Mediterranean, and they fought with the Athenians and so on. And then it collapsed 12,000 years ago. But Atlantis went way back in time. So did that answer your whole question, or did you have?
She's got some more questions for us. Go ahead, Mayor. Okay.
Did it collapse after the flood? Hello?
No, it was during that same period.
Go ahead, Mayor.
During or whatever. The blood type, I wanted to ask. Is that the one and only universal blood type?
Rh negative is the universal donor. All other blood types can receive Rh negative, and that's why the blood banks are always desperately seeking Rh negative blood, because it's rare, and it can be used on anybody in an emergency situation in a hospital. And this can all be checked out. Check it out with a blood bank.
Next up, Mitchell's with us in Seattle. Mitch, go ahead.
Thank you for taking my call, George.
Mitchell.
A question for your guest and a couple statements I'd like to make that I think might be, well, I guess they'd be theories.
Okay.
We'll call them conspiracy theories. But one is that if a person were to look into it, I believe probably these new outbreaks of COVID-19 are centered near where they're doing these vaccine tests that they've been doing. But anyway, and I bet you what will happen after they start giving vaccines is people are going to get sick off of it. And I saw people dying. Oh, anyway, so the secondary one is I forgot all the way. But my question for the man is there any further past the 1960s looking into the Sumerian texts? Has anybody looked into them more and like used the computers to correlate all the different little pieces of clay.
Some people have looked at it. Well, Michael Heiser has. He doesn't agree with Sitchin's theories, but go ahead.
Yeah, many, many scholars continue researching the texts constantly. And there are many, like I said, you know, there are 1.5 million Sumerian tablets in various locations, and only 30,000 have been translated so far. So there's a whole lot more to learn about ancient Sumeria.
What a great place. My God.
In terms of COVID, I'm no expert on that. I'm as confused as everybody else out here about where it came from and what it all is. It seems like they're changing. You know, they're learning new things, and they reverse themselves about how it's contracted and all that. No, I'm in the same boat.
Well, you know, and they still say a virus isn't alive. I still have a difficult time comprehending that. Don't you?
Yeah, it's I agree with you on that. You know, what concerns me a little bit is that the RNA, using RNA, messenger RNA, is, this is a first. I mean, we haven't used vaccines like this before.
So no, that's...
I don't know why they're so confident that everything is going to be hunky-dory. I kind of doubt it, but I think it's going to work. I mean, I'm not saying that the trials...
I pray that it works.
Yes, but they didn't say anything about, you know, allergic reactions until they start giving the vaccine.
Right, even though I'm told it was written down in their reports... They had it, they knew about it, but they never said anything about it.
No, and that's a fault of the mass media, really. They try to put a smiley face on everything to reassure us like we're all little children. You know, we can't face the truth. No, I think we can face the truth. We've been around a long time. Humanity's faced harder things than this.
Let's go to Mike in Denver. Michael, go ahead.
Hey, good morning, George. Thank you so much for taking my call tonight. And just real quick, I just want to extend my thoughts and prayers towards Cornelius and his dad that are going through some health issues right now, his dad. And obviously, I think the whole coast community echoes in that sentiment. So just wanted to say that real quick. Mr. Hart, thank you so much for your presentation tonight and your research into Atlantis. This is extremely fascinating research you've done. I had a comment and a question on Atlantis tonight. So there's this theory that Atlantis was actually a much more temperate version of what is now Antarctica. It's based on the work of Charles Hapgood's 1958 book, Earth's Shifting Crust. According to Hapgood, around 12,000 years ago, the Earth's crust shifted, and it displaced the continent that became Antarctica from a location much further north than it is today. So when we talk about this theory of Earth crust displacement, it's basically centered around the theory that an extreme climate shift that would have put Atlantis at a freezing temperature and also the displacement of the continent. And this could have actually been part of the cause for the people of Atlantis disappearing. So when we talk about plate tectonics and the Earth's moving crust, do you feel that this could have actually played into Atlantis's ultimate demise? Thank you.
Yeah, I think I favor the ideas, and I know who Hapgood was and his work. But I don't agree that Antarctica and Atlantis should be mixed together, because Plato is attributed in dictionary. If you go and you look through history and encyclopedias, the Atlantic Ocean, Plato came up with that, the whole concept. And I don't understand why people try to place it all over the planet when he basically tells us that it was west of the Gibraltar Strait, it was west of Morocco, it was west of Portugal, and it was about a two-day sail from Morocco, western Morocco and Mauritius. So that's where it was. It was in the Atlantic, and Antarctica is totally, I don't doubt that we're going to find things in Antarctica, but it's going to be a different civilization.
Yep, it'll be deep underwater.
That's right. It's a different civilization that goes way back in time.
Let's go to Daniel in Bozeman, Montana. Hi, Dan. Go ahead.
The second law of thermodynamics says that a closed system without new energy introduced will grind itself to a halt in entropy. Now, instead of us just waiting for these aliens or turning ourselves into cyborgs with AI or waiting for the best vaccination or other man-made guesses, there must be a better way to enliven us. In order to open up from these shutdowns and human fears, do you see a more organic and voluntary way we can goose evolution again?
Hmm.
Well, the only way I can see is by, you know, the way things work, as far as I'm concerned, if you look at human history, it's really been a relative handful of people that have sparked transformations. And I'll give an, the latest example was Nikola Tesla. He completely changed, single-handedly changed civilization.
He sure did.
And so it only takes a few individuals. So I, what I see is a few individuals need to go through a psychological, spiritual transformation and basically lead humanity in a new direction. I totally understand the question and what this caller's concerns are. They're very real. We're in a very dire situation, and I'm not just talking about COVID. That's not even the biggest problem. We'll get over this thing in a few years. We're just in it now. We're meeting the challenge now, hopefully.
You know, it's amazing, Will, how they don't talk about the flu anymore.
Yeah. Yeah, because the flu kills people every single year.
Exactly.
So, and we just kind of accept that. You know, that's just part of the deal. And this, I think COVID will go the same way, just the way the, you know, the 1980s.
You think it'll be seasonal?
Yeah, I think eventually, and we'll have it worked out where we've got the vaccine, and people that take it won't get the flu, and those that ignore it will get it.
Well, I got to tell you, I've never gotten the flu shot, and I don't think I can remember ever having the flu in my life.
That's great. You got a strong immune system.
Yeah, I must. Must be all these supplements I'm taking.
Well, you might have something there, really.
I mean, are you going to get in line for the vaccine when it comes out?
I probably have to. I have a condition, and I have to deal with it. In fact, I have to get the flu shot because I happen to be diabetic, and that's my immune system is not that great.
Right, right.
Yeah, I don't talk about it, but, you know, the facts, I just deal with the facts. And I've been isolated this last 6 months. I mean, completely isolated.
Wow. Are you type 1?
No, I'm type 2.
Type 2. You did take, what do you years. Take, like metformin for it or something?
Exactly, yeah.
Yeah.
And sometimes insulin, you know, as coverage. But, you know, we have now, you know, diabetes has become kind of an epidemic for the last 20 years and growing. But I look at it, too, that at this point, we have so many human beings on the planet that it would be hard to kill us off, really.
I hope that's not their intention.
Well,
some people think it is.
No, I do not see. Now, there may be people to me are getting lost, and they look at the grays as if those are the aliens. We don't need to be concerned about the grays. We need to be concerned about our elder race, you know, the race that created us as a branch of humanity. That's what we need to be concerned with and understand, because when they return, when they do return, we're dealing with people now, beings now that I don't even see as, you know, like you were saying, you know, is a virus alive or not alive? Well, these beings are more like they're synthetic.
Absolutely.
Synthetic biology. They're not biology in the same way we are, and they're just monitoring us.
We'll come back again before 3 years, okay?
Absolutely. I'd love to, George, and I hope there were no problems with the sound.
No, you sound fine. Everything worked out great. Thanks, Will. Appreciate it. And we've got everything linked up for you. For Dan Galante, Gina Salvati, Tom Danheiser, Lisa Lyon, Lex Lonehood, Sean Latasseur, Stephanie Smith, Chris Burrows, Tim Banal, Ian Punnett, and George Knapp, I'm George Norrie, somewhere out there on Coast to Coast AM. I'll see you on our next edition. Until then, be safe, everyone.